Well, if you've got a church Bible or a Bible in your hand, why don't you turn to Ezekiel 37? On my Bible, it's page 868. And let's ask God to speak to our hearts now. Lord God, we are people who need hope and encouragement. Speak just through your word on this Pentecost Sunday by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me show you the picture that when he is done, it's outside the front of our house. It's an enormous rainbow. It's probably so big it's filling the whole screen. And on the top, when he has written down, be happy, the Lord is good. And that's certainly true, my friends. The Lord is good. But this rainbow has been appearing all over town, all over the country, all over the nation, all over the world, because it's a symbol of hope, isn't it? That after the storm comes the rainbow. And as people, we need hope. Our churches need hope. Our congregations need hope. Our nation needs hope. Our world needs hope of an end beyond this pandemic, which has caused tragically the loss of many, many lives. And cause havoc in our country, in our world. And on this Pentecost Sunday, we need that hope. And the message of Pentecost is a message of great hope for all the world, where God, by his Spirit, comes into the lives of sinful, broken people and brings new life, new power, new convictions, a new destiny, a new and living hope. Now, the people of God we're going to read about in Ezekiel 37 needed hope. What about you this morning? If you look at verse 11 in Ezekiel 37, you'll see what the people of God say. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. That is the mood among the people of God. Many of them were no longer living in the promised land. They've been taken into exile. Along with Ezekiel, the prophet, they were refugees displaced in Babylon. And at this point in their exile, they just heard from Ezekiel back in chapter 33 that their glorious spiritual home, Jerusalem, that golden city, had been taken. It was destroyed and in ruins. You see, for the first 33 chapters of this book, Ezekiel has been preaching again and again to the people of God in exile one message, telling them that they're in exile because they have been a rebellious people. If you take your notes, it's back there in chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. It's a warning from Ezekiel, from the Lord through Ezekiel, that further judgment would come, but they need to come back to the living God. And now, the city had fallen, judgment had fallen on the city of Jerusalem, and their hopes of home were dashed. And they recognize their deep spiritual need. They cry out, verse 11, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. See, that verse is an interpretation of the vision that God gives to Ezekiel right at the start of this chapter. And it is a hopeless vision, isn't it? It's desperate. Verses 1 to 3, a hopeless vision. Here I am in the church graveyard, which is peaceful and dignified. And yet the vision that Ezekiel has is the very opposite. The bones of the dead have not even been buried. They are piled up like the killing fields of Cambodia. They have no life in them. They're stripped of all life. If you read in Deuteronomy 28, you see there God warns his people. He tells them of the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. And in chapter 28, it talks about the consequences of rebelling against God, given this vision of bones stripped by the birds and the animals of all life and not buried. That is a vision of curse. And that is a vision here in Ezekiel 37. Bones. The bones of the people of the Lord, abandoned and cursed for their rebellion against the God who loved them and rescued them. You see, the Lord God wants Ezekiel to walk in this vision through the bones. In verse 2 and 3, he leads him to and fro among them. And Ezekiel says, I saw many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. This is an unclean place, like a priest. Like Ezekiel would never have wanted to be in. This is a picture of horror and hopelessness that would have turned his stomach and made him ache in despair. It's a vision from God. And actually, it accurately sums up and visualizes the spiritual state of his people in exile. Spiritually dead, cut off from God, and hopeless. Friends, that is how the Bible describes us all. Like Adam and Eve, who rebel against God and are cast out of a relationship with him. And death comes into the world. Our sinful hearts, as Paul describes in Ephesians 2 verse 1, is that we are spiritually dead in our transgressions and sins. In verse 12, he goes on to say that we cannot be part of God's people on our own, without hope and without God. Apart from Jesus, outside of Christ, that is humanity's state. Spiritually dead, without hope, and without God. You see, right now we're living through a time where we think our greatest need is a cure to coronavirus and an end pandemic, and we pray, Lord God, make that happen. But actually, there's a deeper need that all of us face that will go on forever and ever and ever unless it's sorted out. The problem of our sin stopping us from knowing God, and the problem of our sin separating us from God forever and excluded from his presence and facing judgment. I wonder whether you've just spotted in lockdown, as you've been locked up with your family, just what your heart is like, how irritable you can be, how you can say things you wish you'd never said, and you're kind of pretty powerless to anything about it. They're just symptoms of a sinful, rebellious heart and our need for help and hope with it. You know, we are like these people in verses 1 to 3 of Ezekiel 37. It is a hopeless vision of spiritual death. And you know what? The first step out of that is to see God's diagnosis of our spiritual state, dead and without hope, and how we need God to come in. You know, we think we can just switch the flick switch, and decide for ourselves, well, I'm going to turn back to God. But you see, without God's intervention, without his power, that can never happen. That is why we need Pentecost. And just look at the question the Lord asks Ezekiel in verse 3. He says, Son of man, can these bones live?
The other day I was digging in the compost heap and I was trying to get some soil to put into pots to plant my sweet peas, and I came across this. Let me bring it up to the camera. It is a chicken bone. Now, whether it's one of the chickens that the fox got a few years ago when we first moved to the vicarage, or whether it's actually the aftermath of one of the Reese Sunday lunch dinners, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But the point is, if you asked me and said, can this live? I'd have to say it looks pretty impossible to me. It's going to take a miracle to turn this into one of my chickens here.
Ezekiel says, verse 3, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Absolutely. Well, how will God bring hope into a deathly, hopeless situation, a vision of dry, dead bones? Well, secondly, hope of life comes through the word and spirit of God. That's verses 4 to 14. Have a look at verse 4, as God tells Ezekiel to prophesy. Let's look at it again. Verse 4, then he said to me, that's the Lord speaking, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Look, God could do that. Is the Lord, the living God, the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one. God can do something like that. That's just what Ezekiel does in his vision. He obeys God's words and he prophesies. And there's a noise. There's a rattling sound. The bones come together, bone to bone, tendons to flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but still there was no life or breath. The Lord says, prophesy. Verse 10. And that's just what Ezekiel does. He prophesies and breath enters them. And they came to life. And they stood on their feet, a vast, vast army. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, in real time, that's what I'm going to do for my people. Those who are spiritually dead like dry bones. Verse 14, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. What a glorious vision of dry bones dancing and coming to life with flesh and skin and life in them. God was going to do that. And then forget going to the panto as a boy and the stage was black and suddenly someone began to sing, "Them bones, them bones, them dry bones." And suddenly, lots of people in black leotards began to get off the ground with fluorescent bones pointed on them. It was very entertaining. It was brilliant. They all came to life. And that was just a bunch of dancers. That wasn't real. But this vision in Ezekiel speaking of a real event that's going to happen that God promised he would do. "I will put my spirit in people who are spiritually dead. And I will bring new life and they will come alive in me." That's what God promised he would do in history. You see, when Jesus, the Son of Man, speaks, he raises the dead. Lazarus, he says, "Come out." A paralyzed man comes to Jesus on a mat and Jesus forgives his sins and tells him to get up, and he gets up. When we see Jesus doing those things, we should say God is bringing new life, new power to spiritually dead people. Hopelessness, Lazarus, buried dead, and he is receiving hope when Jesus gives him new life, resurrected life. The paralyzed man cannot do a thing, and Jesus speaks, and by his power and spirit, this guy's forgiven, and he walks, he's set free, he gets hope. The Son of Man comes and makes all this possible. This vision in Ezekiel is only made possible because of the work of the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. You see, it was God's plan that he would be cut off, that he would be cursed for us in our place on the cross and raised to resurrection life. And he says to us, as he returns to heaven, "I will send my spirit, another helper upon you, to be with you and in you, to give you life." And on that Pentecost day, in Acts chapter 2, as Jesus' good news, his curse-smashing, life-giving gospel is preached by the Apostle Peter, the crowds of people who are gathered are convicted of their sin by the Spirit of God, and they cry out for their need of rescue. Listen to Acts 2, verse 37. "When the people heard this," that is the message of the gospel, "they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter says, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And that's what they do. Now, they didn't look that day as they stood listening like dead bones. They had skin and hair and they looked very much alive, but they were spiritually dead. The truth is, they could have cried out, "Our bones are dried out and our hope is gone. We are cut off." And they were, until they heard the message of Christ crucified and risen, and they wanted the new birth into a living hope. And how did that happen? By the work of the Word of Christ and the Spirit, convicting of their need, and then give them the gift of faith as they're saved. The Spirit comes into them on that day of Pentecost. Dead, dry bones brought to life, dancing and praising God. That day, 3,000 people came to know Christ. What a great fulfillment of God's promise. The gift of the Spirit given to those at Pentecost. And God is doing exactly the same day to countless millions of people around the world as dead bones are brought to life. As the gospel is preached and people are convicted of sin and the Spirit comes in as they receive him, and they're saved and brought from spiritual death to spiritual life. That is the glory, my friends, of Pentecost fulfilling this amazing vision back in Ezekiel 37. And God wants to do that today in people's lives, maybe listening in for the first time, giving them new life or refreshing us again with his Spirit. So friends, if you know Jesus Christ today, don't forget it's because of the powerful work of the Spirit of God coming into you and giving your dry bones new life, being brought into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ as his Spirit comes and dwells in you. Let us praise God for that glorious reality that gives us hope forever. Heaven guaranteed, Christ in us by his Spirit, renewing us and empowering us with his presence and his gift and his life. What a joy. The God who promised in Ezekiel 37 is faithful. We were dead in our sins, but because of God's great love, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive in Christ Jesus. It is by grace we are saved. Hallelujah. Let us be thankful. And let us be prayerful that the hope we have found will be found by others. There's two concrete things we can do today in response to God's word. We can actually pray, can't we? We can pray that others might have that spiritual life that we long for them to have. At All Saints this week, we've got a special week of prayer. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, join us at one of those times to pray for revival, for the Spirit of God to be at work in our town, in our world, in our country, that many might come to know Jesus, that dry bones we've brought to a new life. And also, in the middle of June, we have a virtual mission. It's going to be called Hope 2020. It's a mission we can all get involved with at St. Richard's and All Saints and Holy Trinity. A series of four talks will be released every Wednesday from the middle of June that we can invite our friends to watch and share and enjoy. Let us pray that God will use this virtual mission to bring new life and salvation to many. And maybe today you're watching and you want this new life yourself. Well, do email me or any member of the staff on our website, and we'd love to tell you more about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you can have this new life of the Spirit within you, giving you hope now and forever. And do join us for our virtual mission, Hope 2020. More details to follow.